for listening to CHSRHealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Donna Marks, author of Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. And I hope that you will visit my website at www.drdonnamarks.com, because I'm here and my mission is to help people who are struggling with bad habits, also known as addictions. And I also like to let people know that if you have developed a habit that you tend to go on and off of, and you can't seem to control it permanently, there is hope and there is help. And actually, leaving an addiction is like leaving any other bad relationship. You break up with it and you don't go back. It's not nearly as hard as you think. One of the reasons that people struggle so much with trying to stop a particular behavior is because they have been improperly conditioned. They have been trained to think that it's hard to stop an addiction. They've been trained to think that they're the reason for the addiction. Today, I have a guest coming on in a few minutes who's going to talk about Chinese medicine and the Tao of addiction. But before he comes on, I just want to kind of talk a little bit about how it's diagnosed in the diagnostic manuals. Substance use disorder. In other words, you have the problem if you become addicted to a substance. I think this is just absolutely, utterly amazing. All these people, all these millions of people all over the planet, it's our fault that we have a substance use disorder. I was watching the TV series Painkillers the past few nights. I also watched Dope Sick. I would really recommend it for anyone who has struggled with opiates or any other addiction. And I was so shocked the way that this product was marketed as helping people heal their pain. And it helped them heal their pain, all right. They weren't feeling much of anything at all other than when they could get the next hit of opiate. It was about the Oxycontin and how addictive it was. And we hear almost on the news every day, I hear, you know, there's a lot of opiate overdoses and we've got to do something about this fentanyl. And this is really, you know, there was really a lot of uproar with Sadler and Purdue over this particular drug. And they marketed the problem. They spent a lot of time and money marketing the problem as substance abusers. Not the product, but substance abusers was the problem. Some of us just abused the substance, and that's why we had a problem. Not that it was made to get us addicted. Oh, no, 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 no. It wasn't made that way. We just were weak. We just wanted more of it than what we were supposed to take. Even though the doctors would keep increasing the dose to keep up with the tolerance that people were innocently developing and the addiction that they were innocently developing because it's such a powerful drug. This really, really, you know, you got to hand it to them and the whole psychological community. And by the way, I am a therapist and I've been treating addiction for over 35 years, but this just really gets me when I hear in a meeting or I have someone come in and they tell me they have a substance abuse disorder. Here's the diagnostic manual for the ICD-10 CM codes that all psychiatrists and psychotherapists use to diagnose. There are a whole bunch of different substance use disorders. There's alcohol-related disorders. There's opioid-related disorders, cannabis-related disorders, sedative, hypnotic-related disorders, cocaine-related disorders, other stimulant-related disorders, hallucinogen-related disorders, nicotine dependence, inhalant-related disorders, and other psychoactive substance-related disorders. don't you love it? I mean, you can just go right down the list and you can say, gee, that's really interesting. There's all this uproar about Purdue and OxyContin, but where's the uproar about the alcohol-related disorders and the cannabis, which is now 23% stronger than it was when I was a kid? Sedatives, benzodiazepines, hallucinogens, nicotine. I mean, these things, I'm going to explain why I'm so upset. These substances are so strong that if you put them in your mouth, the minute the chemicals start hitting your brain wants more. And the minute you try to come off of them, you go through withdrawal and you go through cravings. So I don't know why we have zoomed in on the opiate disorder, because more people are dying from nicotine and tar poison in their lungs, alcohol-related illnesses, and benzodiazepine, and all kinds of, I'm seeing all kinds of people come in that were prescribed medications as children, like Adderall, and they've got now crystal meth problems. I mean, why is the person who's being prescribed or given freely these particular substances the problem? I mean, where is the reality here? You know, if you give somebody something that gets them addicted, why do they have the disorder? I did a post this week on my social media page. It's like, we need to recognize that the disorder is that we are supplying these substances without warning labels on every single one of them. Yeah, there's a little side note on the pack of cigarettes, but, you know, all of these things should have big, big fat warnings. You know, you should take this. If you even put this in your mouth, you could become addicted to it. You're highly likely to become addicted to it, and not because you're an abuser, because you're a normal human being with a brain, and they're hitting on purpose the frontal lobe of your brain that's releasing the dopamine and giving you that fix. And if you've got any type of grief you're going through, or trauma that you haven't healed, or genetic predisposition, which is most of us at some point in time in our lives, we are even more susceptible to becoming addicted to these things. So I would really like to see a change here. Rather than it being substance use disorder, I'd like to see it brains who have been abused by substances disorders, and have the responsibility placed on the powers that are supplying these highly addictive and often lethal and certainly deadly. I mean, all these things are poison. Your brain is not designed to, you know, have nicotine, hallucinogens, stimulants, sedatives. You know, your brain's just not designed for that. Those are not natural states of being, and they're very, very addictive. So I know I'm kind of going off here on a tangent, but I just love it. You gotta love it. You know, mental and behavioral disorders due to psychoactive substance use, also known as substance abuse disorder. First time I heard that, I'm like, what are they saying? Like, oh, I get it. Substance use disorder. Well, guess how they treat substance use disorders? With substances. We are now treating substance use disorders with more medication. I mean, this is like total, almost like something out of Twilight Zone. But anyhow, I don't like to blame anybody. I always talk about that. Let's not blame. Let's not accuse. Let's enlighten ourselves. Let's come out of the darkness. Let's decide we are responsible for our bodies. We are responsible for our brains. We are responsible for our health. We are responsible for our well-being. The most important person we need to trust for our medical well-being is ourselves. And one of the things I posted this week is, think twice before you put any mood-altering substance in your mouth. I don't care who prescribes it for you, for what reason. Be informed, really understand what you're doing, and also be very, very cautious, because it might help for a little bit, but in the long run, you also might become highly susceptible to being a substance abuser. So that's just food for thought for today. I have a guest today that I'm very excited. I've known this person for a long time, and I've followed his wonderful journey and how he has been able to transcend all kinds of conditions. He specializes in Chinese medicine, and today he's going to talk to us about the Tao of addiction. Because addiction isn't always just a straight line. We, you know, many of us picture addiction as somebody who's kind of walking down the street with a brown bag, you know, with a bottle in it, trying to hide it. Or nowadays, it's real common to see a lot of homeless people with drug paraphernalia spread all around them, passed out. I can remember I was in New York, maybe 5 years ago. It was before, right before COVID, and there were bodies on the sidewalks of people just with needles, syringes, right beside them where they had self-administered their medically assisted treatment that they're being given to you know, lower the crime rate, and they're actually, you know, people were just walking over them and around them, and I just said, what's happening to our country that, you know, that we have such a degree of addiction that people are just using legally and passed out all over the streets in New York City. So I really care about, I want us to be able to reclaim our power and understand that there are many ways to physical and mental health. And if you're struggling with addiction, I'm excited that James Hanlon, who is a Chinese medicine physician, is our guest today, and he's going to talk to us about the Tao of addiction. Jim, are you there?
I am, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're on. Tell us what you mean by the Tao of addiction.
Okay, the Tao of addiction. It's a very simple thing, I'll do my best to not over-explain or overthink it. If we look at the Tao of Eastern philosophy, medicine, martial arts, it's very rooted and grounded in nature. So if we say the Tao of something, like the Tao of Donna or the Tao of James or, you know, the Tao of this, we're essentially saying kind of like the nature of its nature, to use a word to kind of describe itself. So the Tao of addiction is very much about, well, what is the nature of the disharmony in the individual as well as the collective culture? And how is it a disharmony in terms of being a natural, I mean, we're all coming from nature. So if addiction is this destructive, disharmonious, pathological, you know, it's a Western, in Western medicine, it's a disease. But if it's such a destructive thing, what is its nature? And how can we make a difference?
Right. I love that. I just love that because especially it's a collective issue. And I don't know if you heard what I was talking about before you came on about, you know, calling it a substance use disorder. Like, you know, what they're saying is those of us who have become addicted, we've abused the substances that we were prescribed or not prescribed. But, you know, like this was like, you know, like there were some kind of weak characters, you know, who just abused the substance. So not that the substances abused us or were made to get us addicted. You know, we're just abusers. So what I'm trying to help shift here in consciousness, and I know you're going to help the listeners tonight with this from the Chinese medicine perspective, but this is a collective consciousness that we want to uplift to a higher level, that our bodies are sacred. They are natural. They are of nature. And nature and relating to nature in the proper way, we won't be susceptible to being seduced into thinking that we are the weakness here and that, you know, pills and drugs and things like that that aren't part of a healthy part of nature and our consciousness. that, you know, we just don't need to go there anymore. So can you help us with how Chinese medicine would address someone who's struggling with an addiction?
Of course. And yet, you know, each individual, we would treat the individual with what's specifically going on with them. But, you know, mm-hmm. getting back to, you know, just piggybacking on what you said about the pharmaceutical medicine, you know, in the Tao of Addiction, you know, there's a book in progress, and I've taught some courses online, and there'll be more available as time goes by. But the pharmaceutical issue is addressed where, you know, our Western culture, and I did pick up on a little bit of it, what you were talking about, New York City, and people are using, and they're on the street, and, you know, there's just not a lot of responsibility in collective culture about how people have been indoctrinated over the last 50 to 100 years, where if you have some type of physical ailment or pain, or psychological ailment or pain, mental, emotional, spiritual, existential, it doesn't really matter. A chemical intervention, if you go to a Western doctor, there's this chemical intervention that's discussed as a, you know, the initiation of so-called treatment. And chemical intervention, I mean, every now and then, sure, someone is really, really compromised and they need something to calm down, or, you know, I could see that. But as a way of going, I really don't look at that necessarily as medicine. I look at this as a pharmaceutical, you know, it's marketing propaganda. It's a lifestyle, you know.
Right, that's exactly what I was talking about. I was using an example of OxyContin and how they marketed it to help people with pain. And then the people that got addicted, they had the substance abuse disorder. It wasn't that this was a substance abuse on people.
Yeah, this is
alcohol, nicotine, even video games, you know, they are programmed to get you addicted. And we have been taking that on, that, oh, my God, I'm addicted. You know, I'm just weak, or I need to manage this, or, you know, when it's impossible to do.
Yeah, pharmaceutical-grade heroin prescribed by a doctor in the safety of his office so that you don't have to feel, you know, X, Y, Z. There's plenty of practical applications for strong painkillers, you know, post-surgical or trauma. Yeah.
Of course.
But these substances, you know, what you and I are talking about here, you know, is addiction is often approached by the recovery, a fair amount of the recovery community and the medical community and kind of indoctrinated social media as, you know, this individual disease. And as you know, if we go back to the time of Bill W. and the origins of AA and NA, that, you know, the addiction was 100% seen as a weak moral character, and these people were institutionalized, and, you know, it's their problem, you know. But, you know, at that stage, they're probably dealing with alcohol and just a few other things. Not nearly, you know, maybe 100 times weaker than OxyContin. So for this to still be going on is really silly. And you and I are trying to talk about the forest and the trees, right, where the pharmaceutical companies, allopathic medicine, even rehab centers, they really are talking just about the trees.
But
if you look at the big picture is, and I know you and I have touched on this previously, that we have a consumerist economy based on GDP, and it's all about better, longer, stronger, faster, more. And there are plenty of programs, whether it's advertising, marketing, propaganda, whether it's political, economic, cars, houses, food, clothes, it doesn't matter. This is a hustling and bustling way to
keep everybody
ramp up
exercise.
Business. Yeah,
uh-huh.
it's crunching numbers here, and yeah, there's plenty of people who may succumb to substances, but overall...
Well, mood-altering, and everything you just described is mood-altering, whether it's a car or shopping or video games or sugar, it doesn't matter. It's all mood-altering.
Yes. How to get overstimulated in some way such that you get a neurotransmitter dump, you know,
mm-hmm.
if we talk about the science,
mm-hmm.
and that's a dopamine, serotonin,
mm-hmm.
you know, GABA.
That frontal lobe hit.
We're getting these hits.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why, you know, when you use it, let's take a hit. Take a hit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is a very Western, you know, philosophy going back, you know, hundreds of years where, you know, just better, longer, stronger, faster, manifest destiny. You know, there might be some benefit to some of this, but without balance and without, you know, if you ask me about Chinese medicine, I really call it Eastern medicine because,
uh-huh.
you know, we have Korean and we have Japanese and we have Chinese. Chinese medicine would be the origins of a lot of the theory and certainly the acupuncture points and the acupuncture channels. But if we look at the Eastern psyche, you know, pre-written history, they're very concerned with balance and harmony
uh-huh.
and where you've got to figure out a way to bring that back into harmony and reduce
yeah.
that, you know, whether it's food, you know, the six addictions that we have now, whether it's work, sex, drugs and alcohol, food, gambling, technology.
Uh-huh.
All these things are pretty crafted attempts at overstimulation.
Uh-huh.
So how to reduce...
Dopamine.
How do we reduce this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about that after the break. Right now we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a minute or two. And I would like you to start there when we come back. Thank you, Jim.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Flip your switch to the healing moment and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, welcome back to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. Our guest today is James Hanlon, and he is an expert. He is a Chinese medicine physician, Eastern medicine, and he's talking about addiction and how, from an Eastern philosophy, this is approached more as a collective and total body, mind, spirit, and a collective consciousness. And you were going into that a little bit more before the break. Can you give us maybe some examples of when someone is suffering from addiction? I know you also see people who are just maybe have hit an emotional bottom from being in an addictive type of relationship. Love can be a big, well, it's not real love, but it feels like, but, you know, let's say relationships can be addictive, but often you'll have people that are coming in off of substances or whatever neurochemical imbalance they've been, you know, impaired with. Can you tell us how you would treat that from an Eastern medicine perspective?
Sure. Well, from an Eastern medical perspective, we have a series of diagnostic impressions where we can evaluate an individual and get a deeper take on what's going on in the internal organ system. And, of course, whether it's a behavioral addiction or you just mentioned, people can be in a relationship that's destructive or very energetically draining, right? They can be overextending themselves in a codependent way, uh-huh. or they can, there's various ways to get drained in an unhealthy relationship. But what happens with the body and the psyche, interesting, you're calling, I know you have a book and a show, it's Exiting the Matrix, is it called?
Exit the Maze.
Exit the Maze, okay, the Maze. The Matrix is a movie.
Uh-huh.
But they're going to make yours into a movie eventually anyway.
Okay, good. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah, and you and I, we're going to be in it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's a good visual.
Yeah, I say. Well, that we'll talk about that in a different show. But,
okay, good. But we have exited the maze, and we have done it in a similar way, but from different philosophies.
Correct. So when someone is coming in from the maze or the matrix and they are drained, their sleep patterns are off. Their energetic patterns are off. They could be having all kinds of different body sensations that in Eastern medicine refer to the liver, the kidneys, lungs, nervous system, circulatory system. And these symptoms will show up weeks, months, sometimes years before something is happening structurally such that a Western allopathic doctor is going to pick that up
uh-huh.
with in blood work or in an MRI or an EKG or an echo.
Right. I kind of compare it to that collapse of that condo down in South Beach, Miami, where, you know, that was eroding for a long time before it just suddenly collapsed.
Yes, so. a massive, the building came down. Yeah, well, that's where you've got something going on for a long time, and then there's this major acute, right?
Yeah.
Very, very quick, very violent event. And
right.
sometimes people crash like that. And other times, you know, it's more gradual. But
uh-huh.
these things are going on for sometimes months and years before they get so uncomfortable that they might seek out some psychotherapy or they might seek out a Western medical doctor, usually just for the pain or the lack
uh-huh.
of function. Like my digestion isn't working. Sleep
uh-huh.
isn't working. So now if we default back to what's going to happen here if they just get a pharmaceutical chemical intervention, they haven't worked the problem at all. They haven't had a dialogue about what were the series of events that occurred previous to this physical pain or this lack of function in the digestion or in the lungs or it could be cognitive dysfunction. And, you know, I'm going to have that kind of a dialogue with them. If they need to see a Western doctor, I'll refer them. but the traditional Chinese medicine, Japanese medicine, there's somewhat of a dialogue about how did you get here, what's happening with your symptoms. I'm going to have a dialogue with the client as to, you've got these physical symptoms, and they refer to a certain mental emotional pattern in the Eastern medical paradigm. How do you feel about that? And 9 out of 10 times or 19 out of 20 times, people are saying stuff kind of like, wow, you know, yeah, that's actually what's been happening. I've been really frustrated, or I've had a really tough time with this in my life. You know, we are looking at, is the stress coming from children, parents, relationship, work, collective culture? Are you streaming Netflix 10 hours a day? Like, what's going on such that you've arrived at this place? So, if someone is detoxing or they're very early in a recovery process, they're going to need what we would call harmonizing with acupuncture and herbal medicine and lifestyle change. But they're probably also really going to need what we would call tonification, which is they're going to need to be built up gradually over time, because the addiction, whether it's behavioral or, you know, substance abuse, whenever it's draining the physical body, it's draining the soul. Okay, in Eastern medicine, we have a kind of a spiritual element to the internal organs, and when they're being physically drained, mental and emotionally drained, the shen, or the spirit of the person, is suffering.
Uh-huh.
So, they receive nurturing through the acupuncture, herbal medicine, lifestyle suggestions, referral to a rehab center, referral to a psychotherapist. And, you know, the empathy and the compassion of the Eastern psyche is really such a beautiful thing, because if an addict or an alcoholic, behavioral addict, hasn't learned, and I know you've talked about, and you're probably going to talk more about how your kind of philosophy and bottom line about where the addiction is coming from. What I'm saying right now is they're getting empathy and compassion from me, and I really make an effort, and I was trained in this, to really sit with them and be like, you know, you're suffering, you know, you really got to take a beat here. You got to take a minute and some time with yourself and realize, you know, how much you're suffering, and feel that, you know, think about it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, your soul is calling for some, they need to learn, however they can, self-empathy, self-compassion, and really cultivate some consciousness. Really, the beginning is awareness about, what am I doing? What are they doing to themselves? And, you know, like that observing aspect of themselves, so they can actually experience it.
Right. And that is, we're going to take a break in a minute, but that's also what I teach in the first act of self-love, of connecting to your being, that you have a body, and it's your mind that's really running rampant here in all kinds of directions. But I want you to focus on your body and your breathing and what you're feeling viscerally. And and so when we come back, I want you to tell us, because I have referred patients to you, and I've gotten such great feedback, and I want you to kind of like walk us through what, if I came into your office and I didn't know I had, you know, substance or addiction problem, I just know that I'm like feeling suicidal or so depressed. I'd like to hear, you know, what would be the first steps in Eastern medicine of how to approach that. So we're going to take a break now. When we come back, let's start with that. If I were a patient, what would I expect from coming in to see you?
Very good.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Flip your switch to the healing moment, and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again, and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern? Change that mindset with just a three-step process. Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Exit the Maze, One Addiction, One Cause, One Solution. This is Dr. Donna Marks, and our guest today, I'm so excited, it's Jim Hanlon, and he is an acupuncture physician. And right before the break, we were talking about what would it be like to go see you. So give us an example of a typical type of situation. Well, I know no one's typical and everybody's unique, and that's a beautiful thing about Eastern medicine is that you treat each person as an individual. But give us an example of, if I came in to see you, what would I expect?
And this is, I think before the break, you said something about someone that came in that had a, you know, an addiction problem, or are you asking me more like just any new patient?
Well, let's just say they have they've hit bottom and they don't know why. So that could be a variety of reasons. It doesn't necessarily have to be an addiction problem.
Well, you know, really regardless, I mean, there's plenty of people that come in for tennis elbow and low back pain, headaches. Maybe they have a little sleep disorder, or I've had a series of patients over 25 years where, you know, a friend of theirs comes to see me regularly and they want to come in for kind of like a tune-up.
Uh-huh.
And contextually, you know, we're all deep, you know, spiritual beings walking around in this, you know, physical body. And regardless of how simple maybe the tennis elbow or the headaches are when someone comes in, or how severe, usually after a few treatments, I find out what's really going on. You know,
mean they open up, or you find out what's really going on in the body? Or both?
Well, yeah, there would be probably something simultaneous there where, yeah, I'd come in for my elbow really does bother me. I mean, sometimes their headaches or their tennis elbow or their low back pain actually is a direct result of something mental, emotional, spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And it's the way they are doing something. They're playing too much tennis. They're a triathlete. that, you know, they're addicted or they're obsessive about exercise, or they're on their phone and their computer 6-8 hours a day. You know, what usually there is, you know, either something compulsive, something obsessive, or something addictive that's driving whatever it is they've got some pain about, and they're just coming in to see what acupuncture or Eastern medicine might provide them, Chinese medicine. And, you know, I would meet them where they were at, and I would ascertain as best I could, you know, what are they ready for? What can, because sometimes there are really glaring physical symptoms, however subtle or dramatic, that really indicate that something, something really important is going on. And, you know, they might be ready to hear it or talk about it, and they might not. So, if someone comes in to see me, I want to meet them where they are, but I do have the responsibility to, if something is really affecting one of their organ systems, and again, it's a different paradigm than Western medicine, we're going to have to, I've actually been accused from a few patients of really being able to say kind of something to them that no one else has said, or that even their doctor isn't saying, about their health, about their, how their mind is working, how it's affecting their emotions, and how it's manifested in their body, and they're looking for a physical cure, but that's not where it's coming from, that's not where it is, and that's not where it's going. It's all being driven usually by the head, you know, in the last, more in the last 50 years probably than ever in time. People have gone up into the head, and it's kind of an intellectualized approach to life. They're not in their visceral cavity from the neck down. You know, they're not, a lot of people are operating from the head up and the waist down. And all the organs in the visceral cavity, that's where all the emotions and all the intuition and all there's a gut feeling, right? There's an intelligence to the visceral cavity, and it's where our feelings and our emotions come from. And if those are not processed, felt, understood, you know, even in a minor degree, eventually those organ systems are going to have trouble structurally or functionally. Usually the function goes first, and then much later the structure. But these patterns can be treated in a preventative context. And, I mean, any type of preventative intervention. I mean, essentially, acupuncture, Eastern medicine, healing arts, we're stimulating the body's inherent healing capacity. Whatever is still available in that muscle group, in that organ system, or the translation of the Chinese characters would be more organ network. It's all about relationship and communication. So it's a very feminine approach to body work.
So if someone has a stomach disorder or a skin disorder, that's information that's different than if they go to a Western medicine doctor who says, here's your prescription to treat that symptom. How is Eastern medicine different?
Well, you just mentioned a digestive disorder or skin, correct?
Yes.
Well, if someone has a chronic skin issue, in Eastern medicine, the skin is the third lung. So immediately, I'm going to be looking for signs and symptoms in their history, medications with bronchitis. Certainly in the last 3-4 years, we're going to be looking at COVID, you know, how that affected them. But the skin disorders, we would be looking at the lungs, and the relationship that the lung has with the heart and the other organs in the chest. And also the lungs, mental, emotionally, correspond to kind of a like a healthy capacity to heal some sadness in your regular and normal life, but the lungs also correspond to deeper grief
uh-huh.
and feeling what I just mentioned in a very deep and visceral way.
Uh-huh.
So if someone has repressed a lot of sadness or grief, or they are stuck in it, that can affect the skin over a period of time. But you know, uh-huh. the lungs can also be affected by the heart and the liver and the other organs. There may be a more complicated dynamic there, and you know that, believe it or not, it's not that difficult to figure that out. In digestive disorders, just quickly, given the stress levels in the Western world, we're always thinking liver. The liver is a very powerful organ, and it can horizontally kind of interact with the stomach and the spleen and the pancreas and the intestines and everything. And a lot of digestive disorders are stress disorders, yeah. So there's an incredible amount of symptoms, signs and symptoms that are kind of giving it away in terms of, it's not just this physical thing. You know, you go to a gastroenterologist, they're going to talk about your stomach. They're going to either do an endoscopy or a colonoscopy or both. And it's physical, it's structural medicine. To treat a human being like that is absurd.
Okay, well, that's a good place to put the bookmark, and we'll be back after the break to talk more about that. Thank you.
Flip your switch to the healing moment, and you'll turn your messes into miracles. Dr. Donna Marks combines her expertise in psychology and spirit in her new book, The Healing Moment, to provide you a valuable, easy-to-use toolkit for a better life. With her book, The Healing Moment, you'll discover how to change your fear to love and finally be able to take control over your life. Get closer to your healing moment by purchasing Dr. Donna Marks' book, The Healing Moment, at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and find bookstores everywhere.
Here's a fact I bet you didn't know. There's only one addiction. It just has many faces. But in spite of the many treatments, of the many kinds of addictions, something's not working. Addiction is only increasing. Dr. Marks says every addiction is a substitute for love, and until you learn how to replace addiction with self-love, you'll remain addicted. Now you can overcome addiction with self-love and get rid of it for good with Exit the Maze, a book by Dr. Donna Marks. Your first step towards true recovery. Buy Exit the Maze at Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, and find bookstores everywhere.
Join our movement by becoming a member of the Exit the Maze Alliance. Your membership will provide the extra help needed to restore your mental health and the joyous life you were meant to have. You'll even have access to a live monthly webinar with Dr. Donna Marks, free meditations, access to her blogs, and other special perks not available elsewhere. For only $12 a month, you can be part of the exclusive Exit the Maze Alliance. Sign up now at drdonnamarks.com. There's no better time to get your life back than right now.
It's frustrating staying in the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over and over again, and still getting the same results. Well, how would you like to break that pattern, change that mindset with just a three-step process? Imagine turning reactions into healing actions and mistakes into blessings. Well, now you can with Dr. Donna Marks' book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. Get it now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. That's Learn, Grow, Forgive by Dr. Donna Marks. You'll be glad you did. You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Gotta test it.
Yeah. Yeah, during the break we were talking about, you know, pharmaceuticals and stuff like that. And I can remember hearing on a podcast one time that the interviewer said, you know, how many people think alcohol is poison? And like 30% said, yeah, they quit drinking because they thought alcohol was poison. You know, really interesting that there are people who actually use their brains and come to very, you know, healthy conclusions without having to go through hitting bottom and you know, self-destruction. But let's say somebody, you know, is feeling really physically or emotionally, or like you said, they're just drained. And they come in and see you, and how do you evaluate their problem with addiction? Or are most of these people suffering addiction, or just a few? Or what are you seeing?
You mean new patients coming into the clinic?
Mm-hmm.
I would say post-COVID, 70% of all the people that are coming in are suffering from, whether they're aware of it or not, at least a mild anxiety disorder. I would say 60 or 70% of my new patients. I mean, I kind of tier it into four sections. That people that are somewhat like what you just talked about, people, wow, they realize alcohol in higher dosages is poisonous.
Uh-huh.
Because they experience that, and if you experience that enough, you stop.
Uh-huh.
Some people can't stop, and they would be more compulsive or more obsessive, let's say. They may do it less, but they're still going to continue to do it compulsively or obsessively. The first group that you talked about, that you know, they just use their brains and they stop. They're still, most people have an impulsivity post-COVID, that whether it's shopping, it's something, but it's, you know, they're exhibiting some moderation. Again, 60-70% of the people coming in I'm seeing are have a compulsive behavior that they work with. Eventually it comes out maybe between the third and the sixth treatment. We're discussing that.
Uh-huh.
There's a much higher percentage of obsessive behavior, which means people are doing something and they have a very difficult time not doing it or
uh-huh.
stopping.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, addiction is, you know, really been kicked up since COVID because
sure.
of the stress,
yeah,
the stress
all the
level.
All the circuits were cut
and
off.
And people
all
want
the
to escape.
Yeah.
Right?
So, addiction is defined as continuing to do the same thing even though you're suffering from doing it. There's some form of suffering for yourself or those you love.
Yes, and the payoff is no longer there, really.
Uh-huh.
Initially, there's
a reward system in place.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, in Eastern medicine, I'm treating, I'm really working with them to whatever degree that meet them wherever they are, in dialogue about how they feel about what's going on with them.
And that's one of the benefits of your work. As we were talking about in the break, you studied psychoanalysis for many years, you know, as a student of acupuncture and Chinese medicine. So you've really integrated a lot. And, you know, Joseph Campbell was certainly, in his writings, you know, was able to really bring it all together spiritually, psychodynamically, you know, symbolically. But you're gifted in that you have really given it that extra to be, and your patients benefit so much from that, that you can really be with them and listen and really pull out the information that their higher consciousness wants to share with you that their lower consciousness does not.
Yeah, well, that's, and I know you're a psychotherapist, so you know you're looking for those moments, those openings when a patient is really feeling more deeply within their own self and their being with themselves, and there's an honesty and an integrity and a truth that's available about what's going on with them, and that's the moment to have that dialogue with them, or listen, you know, mirror back to them how they're feeling, and
facilitate the breakthrough.
Yes, they I'm a catalyst. I really see being an acupuncture physician with a kind of a psychological approach and an herbal pharmacy, and, you know, we do lifestyle, you know, changes. There's a lot of things we do here, but I really see...
So you don't just stick needles in people?
No, not unless that's all they want.
Right.
I think
when people think of acupuncture, that's the image that they've been programmed to see, and I want them to see that that's a very small part of your practice.
Yeah, it's another tool, and Eastern medicine is a catalyst for empowerment, as far as I'm concerned, and when people are wounded, traumatized, undernurtured as young individuals, and they don't know how to parent themselves, they don't know how to take care of themselves, and, you know, they make their way in the world in whatever way they do. If I am fortunate enough to work with them, it's all about how the psyche and the spirit is, how it animates the physical body, and, you know, where is there a disharmony? Where is there a weakness? Or for Westerners, there's often what we would call an excess, which means they're doing something too much. They're eating certain things too much. You know, people usually don't sleep too much, but frequently people are not sleeping enough because they're thinking too much. There's too much stimulation. And so what we would do is we would reduce that excess through, you know, breath work and acupuncture and herbal medicine, supplementation, lifestyle shifts. And then we would, you know, build or nurture or tonify the deficiency, the weakness. So initially, there's almost always a harmonizing strategy, you know, balancing things out. But, you know, the better, longer, stronger, faster, more culture that we're in, initially I'm almost always reducing an excess. You know, there's people are overstimulated from the outside world, and as individuals, they're overwhelmed by the collective, and, you know, we can also talk about strategies, how to kind of stop the world and get off, because that's really necessary. You know, people can make the choice to not be overstimulated.
Sure. But they have to learn how to do that. So we're just about out of time. If someone were interested in coming to see you, how would they reach you?
They could reach me at 561-236-3996. That's a work phone. And I also have a website, shencheacupuncture.com. That's a real view. That's S-H-E-N-Q-U-E acupuncture.com.
And if they just put your name, James Hanlon, with your title in the search bar, would something come up?
H-A-N-L-O-N, yes. Acupuncturist, West Palm Beach, absolutely.
Okay.
We've had a lot of work done on the website. I better come up.
Okay, and I know you have a beautiful office in West Palm Beach. It's conveniently located, and it's a very, I actually haven't been in your office. I've been in the building. It's wonderful, but I've heard from patients that it's very soothing, and people feel incredibly safe and comfortable, and they feel that they get better, which is why, you know, why we're in the helping profession. We want to see people get better, to be able to achieve their goals and to have that body, mind, spirit, harmony, and connection, because, you know, there's one reason we're here on the planet, and that's to laugh and play and produce our talents and to, you know, join hands and hallelujah. I don't mean in an addictive religious way, but I mean in a joyous way of bonding and connecting and having fun. And the planet has become so distracting that a lot of us have gotten lost. So Jim and I like to help people reclaim that childish loving innocence and playfulness and happiness and joy, and help them to reclaim their power and their mission and purpose. And I know from patients that you've worked with that you have helped people do this. So thank you so much. That's James Hanlon, acupuncturist, West Palm Beach, Florida. If any of you would like to contact him or make an appointment, I'm sure that there is unavailable at some point in time. And thank you, Jim, for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure having you.
Yes, it's my pleasure, Don. It's so great to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll do it again sometime.
Look forward to it.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.